Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Amen. We have a number of announcements this morning. First of all, the minister's office hours are on the back of the bulletin. Church finances, work day is Tuesday, June 30th. The July-August upper room is in the table in the rear of the church, and the cost is $1.25. We also have three inserts regarding Storybook Forest Vacation Bible School. August 3rd through the 7th here at the Christian Church. And along with that, there are application forms if your child is going to participate, and also volunteer forms. So, are there any other announcements? None? The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 495. It is Well With My Soul. Please stand. Who is as mighty as the Lord of hosts? God rules the raving of the seas and stills the waves. The heavens are the Lord's, as well as the earth and all that is in it. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, and steadfast love and faithfulness surround him. Let us pray. Above the distractions of the outside world, the turbulence of the world around us, and amid the anxieties of our inward souls, we wish to hear your still, small voice. Help us, Lord, to be open to the whispers of your Holy Spirit and to be receptive to your healing presence. For it is in your name we pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Our offertory hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 117, A Shelter in the Time of Storm, verses 1, 2, and 4. Thank you.
knowing that in our world, in our community, and in our church, so many people are facing storms in their lives. We present these gifts as an effort to help those in need. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture this morning is from 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 and 9 and 10. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you that led out and brought in Israel. The Lord said to you, 'You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the keeping of Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. And David dwells in the stronghold and called it the city of David. David built the city round about from the Milo inward. And David became greater and greater for the Lord. The God of hosts was with him." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is "Great is the Lord" by our sanctuary choir.
Thank you. Christian Church of Connellsville on this rainy day. I was mentioning to Gary before the service started, it almost seems like night. It's so dark, but the light shines within. That is because the Lord is great. Thank you, choir, for reminding us of this each and every week as we gather together to sing the Lord's praises and to give thanks for God's goodness. As we gather this morning, we lift one another in prayer and continue to hold one another in the Spirit. We lift up those on our prayer list and those who are not here with us this morning. We want to pray this morning. I was asked to pray this morning for Sharon Huffine. Sharon Huffine had a stroke and is at currently at Highlands Hospital. She's related to Daisy. She was asked by our friend Robin to pray for her. We also want to continue to pray for the Ondurko family as James has been moved to a long-term care home up in Aliquippa, and to pray also for his father and mother. We also want to give thanks for another great week of camp. I know Hunter was there this past week and dodged all the raindrops and had a great time, and we'll be going back in a few weeks as a counselor to counsel the junior camp, and we have other youth going as well, and Sonny will be there as a counselor at the end of July as also. And of course, we want to give thanks to God for our Vacation Bible School that's coming up and is beginning to get underway. It'll be a month from now, about the first week of August. We want to promote that and invite as many people as we can to come to enjoy time in the storybook forest where God's Word will lead the way. What other joys and concerns do we have to share this morning? Who do we need to add to our prayer list? Who do we need to update on our prayer list? Teresa? Thank you. Are there any others? Judy? I had the honor of attending the Circles graduation that took place this past week. And, you know, 2 weeks ago we had David Primer, who works with that organization, speak here. Many of our church members have a very important part in that organization, and another church member, Tina Grimm, was part of the class that graduated this past Tuesday. So we want to thank all those who have helped work with that program and congratulate Tina and celebrate her graduation from that program as well. Are there any others? Any other prayer requests this morning? Wanda? We'll pray for that. Thank you for sharing that, Ken. Continue to pray for those as they relate to the rest this past week in the South Carolina Charleston shootings. Thank you. Other seeing none, let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. God of love, we come to you now just as we are. In the midst of our doubts, our confusion, our failures, we come with our hopes and our dreams, trusting that you will provide all that we need. Out of your abundant love and your gracious goodness, open our hearts, Lord, to the richness of your grace. Open our lives to the balm of your mercy, that we might grow into your community of life and love. We thirst for your presence, O God. Come and be living water in our lives. When we feel that you have forgotten us, draw close to us and remind us of your steadfast love and your constant presence. When things feel difficult, Lord, show us that you are with us and provide for our needs. When we are tempted, assure us of the freedom of life in Christ. When we feel estranged from you, welcome us with your grace, that your love may transform us in the arms of your mercy. We come to you as your children in need and in joy. We come to you as your followers and hope and in despair, we come to you as your family. In all the good and bad that has happened in our lives this week or this month or this morning, we lift it all up to you now, knowing, Lord, that you know all things, who we are and what we need, where we come from and where we're going. And we simply pray to you, Lord, that you will help us to see as you do, or at least as much as we can, that we may know your will and follow it, that we may see your path and go down it, that those in our lives who are in need may also turn to you to celebrate your mercy and your grace. We pray for Sharon Huffine in the hospital, recovering from her stroke, and pray that she may return home soon. For Vic awaiting surgery, we pray for him and his family as they anxiously await this time. Give them patience. Give them peace of mind. Give them ease of worry. For the McCormack family, we pray the same, that they may also turn to you in times of a need, in times of direction, searching for direction, that they may know where to follow. For our country, for our leaders, for all people in position of power, those who are in need, who need to make decisions on our behalf, we pray that they will be open to your wisdom, your guidance, your word, and to always show your love in all things. Indeed, for the leaders of all the world, we pray this. And for those grieving and those being laid to rest this past week from the shooting in South Carolina, we continue to pray that their lives, that the loss of their lives may lead not to hate and division, but to more love and unity. And we pray that each one is with you at peace and at rest in your unending goodness. May that bring comfort to their families and the loved ones left behind. We pray these things, Lord, even as we celebrate the goodness in our lives, the good news in our lives, the camp season that is underway, the Vacation Bible School that is on the way, the lives of the young people who have been touched and will be touched through this, we give thanks. And we celebrate the ways in which the community has come together to help one another, and people with different churches have come together to help through the Circles program. We celebrate all those who have helped make that possible and celebrate with Tina as she has graduated, her and her girls, and give thanks to you for that. Lord, be with us in each and every moment and help us to know that you are there. For as the clouds come, sometimes it's hard to see the sun. But your Son, Jesus Christ, is with us in all times and all places, in all aspects of our life. May we know this always to be true. May we give thanks for it above all else. No matter what else comes into our life and in the moment of our lives, may we know this truth to be self-evident, that you are with us now and forevermore. Together we say, Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon. All right, everyone's fast today. Have a seat, have a seat. Well, let's make some room here. Okay, I think, why don't you guys scoot down? Why don't you guys scoot down? Scoot down, scoot, 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 scoot. Well, we've got to make one room for... You scooter, you want to sit between you and your brother? All right, you sit right here, like, in perfect spot. All right. Okay, how's everyone today? Hey, what's what holiday is coming up? Can you scoot just a little bit? There's a little bit more room. All right. What holiday is coming up this week? Do you know? It might be sneaking up on you. What? 4th of July. On Saturday. I will. I'll buy some sparklers. You like sparklers, don't you? Yes. I would say 6th if it's on Saturday. So 6th is the 4th of July. Okay. And on the 4th of July, what do you like to do on the 4th of July? Yes.
Set up fireworks.
Fireworks? Yes.
Have fun.
Play.
Camping?
Well, that all sounds really good. That sounds really good. But the highlight of the 4th of July are the fireworks, aren't they? Yes. Fireworks and firecrackers. And that's what I want to talk about, okay? Now, let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask you a question, and you tell me what you like better. You may not ever have thought of this, okay? Listen, boys, listen. Listen, because this is a real tough question. You got to pay attention. Which do you like better, Simon? Stars or fireworks? What is cooler? Raise your hand if you like stars better. Raise your hand if you like fireworks better. Yeah, I thought that might be the case. Fireworks are real loud, right? They're real big. Why do you like fireworks better than stars? Oh, you like things that explode. Yes. Well, they're awesome. Because they're colorful. They are more colorful than stars. Brighter, okay.
And
different colors. And one more. Okay, so fireworks are more colorful, they're loud because they explode, and they are bigger, and they're brighter, right? So, you know, the stars, and they're stinky, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You like that? You like the smell of fireworks? Okay, you can't smell the stars. So the stars are there, right? They're just always there, aren't they? And if it's cloudy, you don't really see them. I mean, a lot of times you probably don't even notice them, do you? And especially, like, if you're in a place where there's lots of lights, you know, then you can't really see them. But if you're walking down the street at night, there are stars up there, you don't even notice. And all of a sudden, boom, a firework goes off. You notice it, don't you? Yes, you like stars because they're quieter. Yes. Okay, last. Surprising. Because they're louder. Well, that's the thing. So, listen. So, you don't notice the stars very much, but you notice the fireworks because they're louder. They're bright, all right? And they're exciting. And part of the reason that you notice them is because they're not usually there, right? I mean, if we had fireworks every night, I bet you would not notice them quite as much, okay? But why am I talking about fireworks and stars? Sometimes, so our faith is sometimes referred to as like a burning light, okay? And we want to burn bright. You've heard the story of the woman who lit a candle, and then she took her candle and put it under a basket. And Jesus said, don't do that. Let your light shine so people will see and know. And by this light, it's your faith. Okay? We want to do that. Now, should our faith be like stars or fireworks? Well, to listen to you guys, they should be like fireworks, right? Our faith should be loud. Boom. It should be bright. Should be colorful, right? And that's all good. But here is the thing I want you all to think about. Do fireworks last very long? Maybe an hour. The actual firework lasts just a second, right? I know. Stars last forever, don't they, Owen? Owen loves stars, okay? That's his thing. Stars and dinosaurs. Because they're quiet. Dinosaurs aren't quiet. Okay, but the thing with stars, listen, stars, they're always there. And that's the first thing, is they're always there. And even after 100 years, the stars are still there. And when the clouds are out, the stars are there. The stars still shine. But the fireworks, they burn themselves out. Yes. Yes, that's true. Now, what we want to do, though, is with our faith, we want our faith to be more like stars because we want it to be constant and strong, and we don't want it to burn out, do we? We don't want our faith to burn out, because if it's like a firework, we'll be real excited for like a second, and then it'll be gone. right? And that's not what we want to do. So when Jesus tells us to let our light shine, I just want you, while you do enjoy the fireworks this week, I want you to let your light shine like a star in the sky that's always there, that was there yesterday, that'll be there tomorrow, always be there for people to see. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, and that's found in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible on page 72. Here begins the reading. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door shall be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we've now lifted our thoughts and prayers, our joys and concerns to the Lord in prayer. On not one, but several occasions, it is ironic that we only now are getting to the scripture passage for today, in which Jesus teaches his disciples and us about prayer. Now, some of us have heard it before, others may be hearing it for the first time, or may have heard it before and forgotten it. But it's something that we should never think we fully know. Jesus' disciples see him praying. And they are impressed. They figure, if he prays, we should pray. They figure, if he knows how to pray, we should ask him to teach us how to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. Now, I more than half expect Jesus, when asked this question, to answer their request with a strange riddle. We've talked about parables before, and there are so many times when people will ask Jesus, "How do I earn eternal life?" Well, one day a man was going down the road to Jericho. Sometimes they will say, "Teacher, what must I do for my sins to be forgiven?" And he will say, "Well, there was once 2 sons. Oftentimes Jesus answers these questions with a story, with a riddle, with a parable. But here he surprises by being direct. Just about as direct as he ever is in his teaching, straight to the point. He teaches them in the way of prayer, saying, when we pray as he taught us, we call it the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." That's pretty much the foundation for what we pray every single week. So as far as how to pray, that is all we really need to know. We could pray it exactly like that as with the Lord's Prayer, or we can put it into our own words. But these are the points that are important. Recognize who God is and how holy God is. Seek God's will. We can ask for what we want, but first seek God's will. Then ask for what we need. Confess our sins. Ask for strength. In all our prayers, these elements should be there, and they should be there in that order. But then Jesus does what I expect him to do. He gives this direct teaching, this direct response, and then he says, "There was once a man asleep at midnight." He gives them a parable, a story that seems kind of strange and unrelated. The parable has been called "The Friend at Midnight," and it immediately conjures up images in your head of someone coming and knocking on your door. But how often do they come in the middle of the night? If someone were to knock on my door in the middle of the night, I would be terrified. I'm not sure that it's ever really happened before. But one place where it does happen frequently is television. If you ever think of your favorite shows, almost every one of the sitcoms, the comedies, has the wacky neighbor who's always coming over, and if they're lucky, knocks. But not always. You should be well acquainted with this plot device, the wacky neighbor, the friend who comes over at all hours. It goes all the way back to the beginning of television and is a tried and true character that always produces a laugh. A few weeks ago, I saw an episode of The Honeymooners on TV and remembered not only the crazy antics of Ed Norton, who was so silly as to make Ralph Cramden seem occasionally sensible, but I also was reminded that the cartoon Flintstones was based on The Honeymooners, and it was Barney Rubble who had the Ed Norton character. He was the neighbor sidekick who, again, would come over whenever he pleased. Now flip through the channels and you will see any number of timeless characters like this: F.O. Mertz, Arthur Fonzarelli, Rhoda Wilson, Ned Flanders, and many, many more, playing the role of the neighbor who is so involved with the story and with the family that it is as if they are one of the family. Sometimes they give advice, other times they crack jokes, perform ridiculous hijinks. Always they make the main characters look better. Sometimes they even borrow a thing or two. Of all the wacky TV neighbors we've ever seen, the one that sticks out the most for me is Kramer from the TV show Seinfeld, who always bursts into his neighbor Jerry's apartment, takes what he wants, complains that Jerry does not have what he needs or is looking for, and then embarks on some scheme. He demands incredible things of Jerry, such as asking to use his apartment for making sausage, asking him to play Risk or keep a Risk game that he and another guy are playing, or even to take care of his pet chicken, which he has named after his friend Jerry. Now, Jesus doesn't tell a story quite so outlandish. The neighbor is actually just somebody in need. But it does involve a neighbor who puts an unreasonable demand on his friend. It isn't so much what he asks for, 3 loaves of bread, that is crazy or undemanding. It's simply when he is doing so. Midnight. The middle of the night. After the door has been locked, after the man has gone to bed with his children. Travelers in Israel would often travel by night to avoid the heat of the desert day, but people slept on the same schedule as we do. Therefore, it was incredibly impolite to barge into a man's house, asking to borrow something well after he and his family have gone to sleep. Now, it's funny to me now when I read this, because I barely know my neighbors at all, and I can't imagine that any of them would ever do anything like this, but I did have a friend who was very much like the man in our story for today. He would come over at any time, and who was very much also like someone you might see on TV. His name is Mike Chambers. We just called him Chambers. When I lived in college and he lived in the room across the hall, he would knock at any time, it seemed. It was never safe. But actually, after a while, he got tired of knocking, and he would just pick up his phone and call me, even though he was 5 feet away from my door. I don't know, maybe that was more polite or less, but it was definitely strange. Sometimes he needed a screwdriver, other times a CD, a book. One time he needed a potato, and I did not have it. But if I did have it, I would give it to him, all in the futile hope that he would let me get some rest. These late-night raids in my room serve to illustrate Jesus' point. If the man gives something to someone just to get him to stop bothering him, just so he can go back to sleep, how much more will God give to us whom he loves? And it's true. You would be angry if somebody came to your house at midnight and knocked on your door. But if you thought it would get them to go away, you'd give them the last loaf of bread you had in your house, just so you can get back to sleep. But then there's God, and God never sleeps. And no time of night is too late to talk to God, and no time is ever bothering him. How much more is God likely to answer our prayers than the man in Jesus' parable? So Jesus tells them directly how to pray, but then gives them a parable, the disciples a parable, to show them that praying is not futile. That in fact, God will answer prayers. What good news! But some of us strive to make too much good news of it. You see, Jesus says that God will answer our prayers. And he has a lot of wonderful things to say in there, but there's also some key words we must remember. Because he says, in describing the way God speaks to us, that God will give us what we need. He says that the man, in his persistence, will get up and give the man at the door whatever he needs. Not whatever he wants, necessarily, but whatever he needs. He uses the word needs. And then he says, if the child asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If the child asks for a fish, will you give a snake? To say that, of course, God will not give us bad things. So what we get from God is good. However, one, notice what is being asked for. Fish and egg, these are things that are necessities. Needs, not necessarily wants. Jesus says that God, in effect, will give us what we need, but not always what we want. But there are those who preach a different gospel. We call it the prosperity gospel, who use this verse to proof text their belief that God will reward a persistent petitioner with whatever they want. So if you want a new car, if you want a new job, if you need a little bit of money, just keep praying and praying and praying. And if you're not getting it, you're not praying hard enough, you're not praying enough. And these people have it half right. God will reward us by answering our prayers. God does reward persistence in prayer. But it doesn't mean that we will get what we want if we simply bug God enough. God doesn't need to go to sleep. God does not get tired or worn down. Even Jesus, as he prayed at midnight in the Garden of Gethsemane, did not get what he prayed for, as he prayed for the cup to be removed from him, but then said, "Your will be done, not mine." The key to understanding this parable is when Jesus says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now this parable tests whether or not you really think God cares for you. If you think God cares for you because God gives you what you want, then at some point in your life, if it hasn't happened already, you will be disappointed. But if you start with the belief that God cares for you, then you see any answer to prayer as a good answer, even if the answer is no, even if it is not what you want. What Christ promises is that God will give us the Holy Spirit as answer of our prayers. Not a new car, not necessarily a new job, not necessarily a new boyfriend, but the Holy Spirit. And it is tantamount to saying that we get what we need, not necessarily what we want. And that's why a big part of our prayers also should be us praying to be happy with what we have or what we get. To trust in God's goodness. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust that what we get comes from God. And not only comes from God, but comes from a God who loves us. And therefore trust in the answer. Our God will not give us a scorpion. Our God will not give us a snake. Our God may at times give us a fish or an egg, and sometimes just give us the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we do not like it. A man asks to be healed, and Jesus says to him, "Go now, your sins are forgiven." You could imagine the next thought being, I didn't say anything about my sins, Jesus. I'm okay with my sins. I don't want you to heal my leg. But that's not what he got. Prayer isn't so much us waiting for God to do something, because God is always doing something. And if anything, God is waiting for us to do something, and that is to understand what God wants, or to understand what God is doing. The struggle in prayer, then, is not our struggle with God, but God's struggle with us. In the end, we are not the persistent ones. We are never the persistent ones. Let's be clear about that. No matter how much we pray, we cannot outpray God. We cannot outwork God, and we cannot be more faithful than God is to us. We can never match the overwhelming, awe-inspiring persistence of God who asks much of us. And sometimes we treat him like the friend at midnight or an inconvenient neighbor. Sometimes we answer God in order just to get God to go away for a while and to quiet down our consciences. But God is always willing and happy to hear our pleas and always willing to answer our prayers. The response will come from the heart of a heavenly parent who loves us better than we love ourselves and knows us in the profoundest sense of what is best for us. We will not always get bread, but we will always get breath. The breath of life that renews us, the breath of life that sustains us in whatever it is that we're facing. And so I invite you, as you pray this day and every day, as you pray going forward, to trust the goodness of the one who hears your prayer, to trust the goodness of the one who answers your prayer, and to trust in the goodness of the one who gives us all that we need, even if it isn't what we want. May God increase in us an awareness of his goodness this day and all days. Amen. Now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems of their past and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 454 in the Brown Hymnal, Trust and Obey. Trust and obey. We've heard it before and we know it, but I wonder if asked which one we would find more difficult, trusting or obeying. At first glance, you might think obeying. After all, Jesus did give us some very difficult commandments to love one another as we love ourselves, to love our enemies, to forgive one another, to be perfect in heaven as your Father is perfect. To be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. These are all very difficult commands and maybe even impossible, and yet the call to obedience is softened by the knowledge that Jesus is gracious and forgiving and will forgive us when we fall short. Trusting, on the other hand, I think is actually more difficult. There is trusting that if we follow in God's way, that things will go well for us. After all, things didn't go all that well for Jesus and many of his disciples. And we trust also that God is with us at all times, but there are times when it is hard to feel or to know God's presence with us. But some people, it is hardest to trust that Jesus loves us fully and completely. It may be easier to believe that Jesus loves someone else than it is for us to believe that Jesus loves us in the way that we are taught that he does, so completely and so magnificently. It's something that we have to learn and something we have to know. Sometimes we think that if we obey and follow the commandments and do what we're supposed to do, then Jesus will love us. If we get ourselves straightened up and put ourselves together, then Jesus will accept us. But in those moments, we must remember the words of Paul, the Apostle Paul, who said that his love was shown in this way, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still sinners. He did not wait for us to get our act together. He'd still be waiting today. He did not wait for the world to come to its senses and to love one another as they love themselves. While we were still sinners, he died for us. And so the truth of the matter is evident that we can't just sit around waiting to get our act together and get right with God. And then, when we do, then and only then when we know Jesus' love, it is the opposite. It's only when we trust his love for us, then and only then, are we truly made right with God. There can be no other way. And so I hope that none of you are afraid to come to this table because of sins of the past, present, or even future. Because of shortcomings or imperfections in your life. Indeed, that is why you need to come to this table. Because Jesus is here waiting for you and your seat is ready. We trust in his love and his goodness. And in doing so, that is the greatest way we can obey. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come here because we know that you love us. But we come here because we know you are the great decision maker. Sometimes we make educated decisions. Sometimes we make quick decisions. And sometimes we just come to you and say, Lord, I can't decide. Please help me. But what we have to remember is that you have already decided for us. And it is that voice in our head that says, this is the way that it is. And our life is in your hands. So we must listen and follow. So we come here for guidance. We come here for help, but most of all, we come because you know you love us unconditionally. Amen.
For I hand unto you what was also handed on to me. Then on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it. And said, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after having blessed it, he poured it out. And said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. not community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 520 in the brown hymnal. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Let us stand as we sing. Let us bow our heads for the benediction. May God's love surround you. May God's grace uphold you. May God's Spirit direct you now and forevermore. Amen.